Welcome to this episode of the Senior Care Growth Show. My name is Winston. I'm super excited today to be joined by Aaron Clifford. He is the Senior Vice President of Marketing at Binary Fountain. Today, we're going to be talking about a really important topic in the senior living industry, and that is the importance of reputation management. Are you curious about how you could improve your website, marketing, or sales activities to increase revenue for your organization? As a special thank you for listening to the show, we're offering Senior Care Growth Show listeners an exclusive strategy call free of charge. To set up a time to get specific, actionable advice, visit www.seniorcaregrowth.com/connect. We're looking forward to helping you grow. Aaron, welcome to the Senior Care Growth Show.
Thank you so much, Winston. Happy to be here.
Yeah. And so just by way of introduction, maybe you could tell people a little bit about who you are and what it is that you do.
Sure. So I am with Binary Fountain a little over a year and serve as the Senior Vice President of Marketing. So I oversee all the marketing and communication efforts that Binary Fountain has. Prior to Binary Fountain, I was with HCA, which is a large hospital healthcare provider. And I was with them for 15 years. Left the company running the, I was a senior director of digital marketing solutions. So I oversaw marketing technologies, served as the business owner for the 900 websites. And then while I was at HCA, I developed the first online reputation management platform and department. And so created the business case and won the business case and created the reputation management for the 800 clinics and 173 hospitals. Loved Binary Fountain. They were a vendor that I chose when I was at HCA, and loved the whole online reputation management and brand management, consumer experience space. So thought I'd join Binary and been having fun ever since.
Yeah, that's great. And just so for folks who aren't familiar with Binary Fountain, though, maybe explain what it is that Binary Fountain is and how it helps with reputation management.
Sure. So Binary Fountain is a consumer experience platform. So we help enable companies and brands to manage their online presence, what's being said about them on various review sites, and specifically, not just the sentiment and what the star ratings are for the particular physician or business, but actually what are the consumers or in healthcare patients saying about their care. So we have a natural language processing component of our software that goes through and analyzes each of the comments and then provides better insights to the brands and companies that we serve so that they can make improvements to the customer experience. We also help companies generate more reviews. In healthcare, it's very difficult, but also in the multifamily space and other verticals, it's very difficult and it's somewhat of an art and just somewhat of a process to get that. So we help enable those. And then also we've done analysis on all 800,000 physicians in the United States. And most recently we were U.S. News and World Report announced that they're using our data to power their patient experience profiles for all of the physicians that are on U.S. News and World Report website. If you go to a physician, you'll see under experience powered by Binary Fountain. So we're also sort of a data analytics company and provide data to other organizations.
Yeah, that's awesome. And, I think in the senior care space, reviews and an organization's reputation is just incredibly important. It's a really considered purchase. Why do you think that this is such a valid topic for marketers and sales folks in the senior living industry?
So, I'll start really high level. According to a Bright Local study, 2017 survey, and if you've not looked at the Bright Local survey that they do annually, very important as a marketer to look at the stats there. So I'll just start broad. 97%, according to their survey, of consumers look online for local businesses. 12% of consumers look for a local business all the time. So just starting at that broad perspective, huge. People are going online to find services and local businesses. And then, are the reviews and the ratings trusted? So in this same survey, said 85% of people, they trust online reviews as much as a personal recommendation. So as a marketer, you can be spending all kinds of money on billboards, on your SEM approach, on social and content marketing, all of these efforts, which are good efforts and you have to do, but reviews and ratings are standing in the way of that new revenue. So whether it's senior living business, healthcare, or whatever other business, you've got to pay attention and have a strategy and approach of knowing what's being said about you. And then also, you know, how you can respond appropriately and do service recovery. But
yeah, that's great. That's a pretty staggering stat. I think the fact that 85% of people trust online reviews as much as a personal recommendation says a lot. I know that whenever I even buy a consumer goods product, I mean, I read through all the reviews on Amazon, and this is a much, much weightier decision. People are obviously going to do their research.
Absolutely. And I would say in a senior living space where there are, you know, oftentimes research that's being done remotely. So, you know, daughter lives in, you know, Austin, Texas, mother lives in, you know, Albany, New York. There's going to be a ton of research by that daughter to look at that local business in Albany, you know. And so they may not have friends in that particular area. They are going to, it's probably even a little bit more of trusting online reviews or making some decisions based on those reviews in remote situation.
Yeah, that's a good point. And so if I'm a marketer and I'm maybe working at a senior living community, I've got a million things to do. I'm giving tours. I'm trying to manage the website and everything else. How much time really should I be dedicating to reputation management?
So there's, you know, what I had recommended when we were implementing this, and we did it manually first for about 20 clinics. And we just had a sort of step-by-step guide of what they should be doing to set up a reputation management program. And really what it came down to is probably about 10 minutes a day, 10 to 20 minutes a day. You know, there's for one single facility, because you're looking at, you know, what platforms are out there and you're just going through and you're checking, are there any new reviews? And of course, subscribe to the platform, you know, number one, claim your listing on those platforms. If it's, say, Google My Business, make sure that you're the owner of that profile. And then you have alerts set up to email you when there is a new review. And then Facebook, of course, you got to own that if there's comments there. So you just got to be aware. And it's probably 10 minutes a day, 10 to 20 minutes a day.
Wow.
some days it's going to be more because there's going to be some comments and it's going to take time to know how to respond to those comments, positive and or negative. So those might, you know, some days your day might be consumed with, you know, 3 to 4 hours of talking to different individuals and seeing how you can, you know, manage it. But on average, I'd say 10 to 20 minutes.
Yeah, that's great. That's, you know, not too much time. And that's actually a lot less than I would have thought. So I guess the only way that you're able to spend that little bit of time, though, is probably by having a good system of what to do. So you're not just kind of floundering around. You need to kind of know what to do with that time. How should marketers, what should they do like to manage their online reputation, and how do they generate some positive reviews, not just kind of address some of the negative reviews?
Yeah. So I would say, you know, in terms of my recommendation is, you know, look at the top 5 to 10 platforms that you are, you have a presence on and that there might be a review on. And so first step is to make sure that your address and phone number are correct on all of those listings. So Google My Business, Yelp, Facebook, you know, other directories, even Foursquare, because you want to make sure that your listings are strong, the address is right, website that's on those listings are correct. And then so decide on the top five. I'm going to look at these. I'm going to claim this profile and I'm going to keep tabs on these five. First, this is just like 101.
Yep.
And then have a systematic way of going, all right, when I get a positive review, how do I respond to it? And have a, you don't necessarily have a template necessarily. I mean, you can have a framework of what you want to say and cover, but personalize each response if possible. Right. So make sure that you have that, and you can just create your own little toolkit. We also have some resources on the binaryfountain.com site that can help you, some eBooks that, you know, would help set you up just to do this manually. And then for negative reviews, you know, you have a system and process around how to respond to negative reviews. And then, you know, start just monitoring and seeing, you know, what the cadence is, how, you know, are there any reviews? Because there may be no reviews or very little reviews. And you're going like, well, this isn't really representative of our business, the reviews that are out there or the lack thereof. So yep. To your point, you know, how do I generate those reviews? That's a tricky one, you know, because you got to be careful of how you go about, you know, asking for reviews and soliciting those reviews. So there's a lot to that particular segment in the reputation management process.
Yeah.
What I would recommend is that you start small and just do a test, you know, on those that you have a comfortable relationship, you know, as the marketing person at the senior living, you know, work with the patient access and the care member teams and see like, you know, hey, who do you have a good relationship with?
Yeah.
And who might be willing to help us get the word out about our facility and the good work we're doing. But start small and maybe do would you mind leaving us a review? And then you can get into a more automated way of review generation. You've got to be careful because you don't want to just ask the people who are happy because that may not be representative. So our approach and my personal philosophy and Binary Fountain's philosophy is you ask everybody.
Right.
But I would say you can start with a pilot just to get your sea legs up about you.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. I think to your point too, is just start with a few people that you have a good relationship with. You can kind of let them know that it's coming and what they need to do and sort of figure out the best method for soliciting those reviews. Is that something that you would recommend folks do in the form of an email that they send, or like should you use a tablet in person, or how do you recommend they even capture those reviews?
Yeah, so email is going to be the first step, which is helpful. And again, senior living is going to be, you know, depending on who your audience is and who your customer is, sometimes it's the caregivers of your, you know, resident there. They're going to be sort of the target of who you would ask, because they're going to have an opinion rather than the actual resident, you know,
right.
But it could be resident as well. Just depending on the situation. So if you have their email address, that's a great way of getting it out. Hey, you know, personalize that message and send them directly. The other way, you can have a tablet, and that works well, like in an outpatient setting at
right.
times. So, you know, and then there's sometimes just good old fashioned, you know, honestly, sometimes mail works, you know, or a postcard or some, you know, print collateral. Consider leaving us a review, you know, on your experience on Google My Business, and, you know, pick the platforms that you would like to target. And, you know, if it's Google My Business, then direct the caregivers and your audience to that particular platform, or if it's Facebook, to that one. I will say, just important to keep in mind that be aware of each platform's solicitation guidelines. For example, Yelp is, they would rather you put a visit us on Yelp sticker on their business than asking your patrons to review you online. And so Yelp has come out very aggressive on that.
Yeah.
And they stand alone in that. And I get their stance. They don't want manipulation of reviews. They don't want just positive reviews. They want an entire, and they think that it's wrong for people to ask for reviews. Other platforms have not taken that stance, and that's not our stance, but just be aware, Google has a policy as if they think that you're just sending positive reviews, they're going to remove them. So my approach and philosophy and Binary Fountains is you just ask every patient, good or bad. And then, you know, if there's bad, you can respond to it, do appropriate service recovery, and respond to every review. I should say not every single review, because sometimes some reviews you just don't respond to because they're so outlandish.
Right.
And then I can, you know, probably create a website with all of those, like, this is a review you don't respond to because they're so great. But yeah. For the most part, you review and you try to get that particular case taken offline. What we've seen is with many of our customers, by responding and caring, like, that's the number one, give a rip right about your customers. By responding, we've seen many of the patients or patient caregivers come back and update the review. Hey, the facility, the hospital took care, and really appreciate them reaching out after I left a review. So there's a great opportunity there. It's kind of just being human, right? Just be a decent human. But sometimes it's, you know, oh, I don't know how to respond on that online, you know?
Yeah. So that's a good question. I mean, and people, I think, run into that where they get a negative review and the initial reaction, maybe they're even familiar with this customer and their initial reaction is, well, they want to tell their side of the story. And maybe the customer had one experience, but it wasn't representative of what actually happened. And they're just ready to jump in and say, well, actually, this is what happened. And so many times you see that blow up in the business's face because it becomes this public back and forth. And like you mentioned, taking that conversation offline, how quickly should you respond to negative reviews? What should you say? What's some good verbiage that some of our listeners can use to successfully diffuse that situation and handle it somewhere less public?
We never encourage a back and forth. We've seen plenty of examples of that. In fact, one time we saw a physician arguing with one of their patients and saying they got a negative review, and this physician got on the Google My Business page and started arguing with the patient and calling him a drug seeker and saying, you know, that's not true. It's like, oh, bad. No, don't do that. You know, no. So our recommendation is to respond within 24 hours. You know, do appropriate research if you know, if there's any information given. So you do appropriate research and then you simply reach out and on the review line you say, you know, for example, thank you for sharing your experience. We always strive to provide the best service. This is, your review is very concerning to us. Please call us at and provide that phone number and have a real human being pick up the phone. So when that happens, you'll see, you know, that oftentimes the caregiver or the patient will call, like, right, you know, hey, I left this review. Thank you for reaching out. And that's where we've seen them go back and update the status. So just very, you don't want to get in the details of the specific item, even if it's blatantly untrue, just don't argue around the, you know, their side of the story and your side of the story online. You simply say, please reach out. And sometimes if they don't, you know, at least you showed that you were willing to engage. And that's important to folks who are looking at your business and considering, you know, how you would handle a situation. If it just lives out there on its own, then there's a brand perception that is made and that may not be beneficial to your business or representative of how you actually, your organization's culture and way of practicing. So it's very important. I'd say within 24 hours is best case scenario. Even if it's 3 days though, respond. If it's, don't go back 2 months, don't go back a year. Don't do that. You know, that's fine. Just say, all right, this point forward, this is how we're going to respond. And that's okay.
Yeah, that's great. That's a good call. And I also really like the idea of listing a phone number rather than an email address, because I think, you know, whenever I have a difficult conversation in business or otherwise, if you try and handle that in a written format, it can be much more difficult to get to the root of the problem quickly, show that empathy and that you really do care. And so I think having the phone number as the next point of action is a really good call. The question kind of related to that is, who should you have on the other end of the line? What type of person or what role within the organization should be fielding those requests? Kind of at what level do you think should that person be?
So if you're, you know, what I would recommend, and maybe for a single, and I always start, you know, single facility and assume that this is, you're just self-contained, you're managing, you're not part of a large enterprise system. So what's good for, you know, the single facility is oftentimes good for the enterprise. You just have to find ways to scale different programs up and across. So just assuming that it's a single facility, you know, the marketing director in the, if there's a chief nursing officer or head of patient care, and then, you know, legal should come together with a plan. How are we going to respond and who's going to respond? And so oftentimes, depending on the case, is you may need to provide the phone number to the chief nursing officer of the company and say, you know, talk to me directly. And you give her name or his name and you provide the phone number and you leave that in the review. Other times it's going to be the marketing director, you know, please reach out. I'd like to talk to you more. Or it could be, you know, that's sort of, that's where we see most of our customers, you know, their internal plans and the numbers that they give. Larger organizations have sort of the patient access, and they have a phone number, patient relations. It might be, you know, not necessarily their call center, but it may be a call center, but it's a specific unit within their call center that knows how to handle those and then escalate it appropriately. So that's where I'd start, you know, depending on the staff, depending on how many folks you have in the organization, just make sure that it's not somebody who, for the most part, you want the phone number to go to somebody who could actually resolve it. And you're not passing that patient or caregiver to 3 to 5 different people. That's Yep. never good. We've seen people do that and they go back and they update their review and they say, I've talked to 6 people who can't give me an answer on fill in the blank. And it's like, oh man, a pretty good effort, you know, but dear Lord, you should have like given the phone number to somebody who can actually do something or at least fast track the issue in service recovery.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think having that single point of contact for sure, because then the person with the negative review isn't having to tell their story multiple times. It makes it even worse. And yeah, that's just that's a nightmare. Aaron, another question for you that came to mind. If I'm that senior living marketer and I know that my online presence is important, reviews are important, there are several places where those reviews could be left. And in the senior care space, places like caring.com or A Place for Mom or Google, like you said, Yelp, lots of different platforms. If you're spearheading an initiative to improve your online presence and reputation online, which platform should you focus your energy on? And do you give the patient or the resident the option to leave reviews on multiple platforms? How do you handle that?
Yeah, so our recommendation is that when you're working in a particular area and, you know, determine where the most reviews are. If it's pretty much equal, you know, Google, Facebook, and wherever, then you need to give some thought about your consumer journey. You know, what are people using to search for or get recommendations for your facility? And what's that path look like? So if it is an insurance site and they are, you know, looking at, you know, what's covered under insurance, and then they're just going to go Google your name, you know, like a branded search term, then, you know, you're going to focus on Google My Business, right? Because most likely, you know, percentage that's on Google, you know, what, 96% of all searches on the internet on a mobile device are Google searches. Right. So make sure focus on Google. Gotcha. If Facebook, right, and people are asking their friends, and you look at your Google Analytics, and it looks like you're getting a lot of referrals from Facebook, or not maybe a lot, but even if it's 5 to 10 where people are linking to you, well, then make sure that you direct people to Facebook to leave feedback. I would also say don't underestimate, and this is another approach to reputation management, is first party reviews. So if you have a survey that goes out to your patients and, you know, caregivers, you know, consider adding reviews and being transparent on your own website. Right. It's very powerful that in first party reviews, and Google loves them. That helps from an SEO standpoint, but also helps consumers get an idea, you know, and you be transparent. You de-identify PHI, but post some of those to your website. And that requires a little bit more work and not more work, but it's just a different initiative and a different part of reputation management, and something that we we focus in on. We take, and Press Ganey is a preferred partner, and so we get all the patient satisfaction survey information, and we're able to publish those per, you know, for each physician. But you can look at doing that, you know, either manually doing it or finding a solution provider to do that. So understanding your consumer journey and then seeing like, okay, well, looks like some people are getting referrals off Facebook, or it looks like people are going to Yelp. Let's focus on, you know, just making sure our profile's up to date, and let's stick a Yelp, you know, visit us on Yelp sticker on the window. You know, that's an approach, but it's, you know, I'm not real prescriptive on like always do Google or always do Facebook. It really depends on your particular, you know, area that you're in.
Right.
I would also don't discount your competitors and see where they're performing well. So competitive analysis is a big part of the reputation management platform. You need to know how your competitors are faring online and where folks are going to review them. And then that might go into the decision as well.
Yeah, that's those are all good points. So look at your customers and the customer journey. Go back to your personas. As we always say in marketing, it's, you know, core is focus on the customers, and then competitive analysis, and also looking at the data and where traffic's coming to your website from, and what have they looked at before coming to your website. I think those are all good criteria for figuring out how to prioritize which platforms you want to focus on. Another question too is, so that we've talked a lot about how to do this sort of on your own and how to spend a little bit of time and kind of manage this in-house. Obviously that takes a lot of time and energy. When does it make sense for an organization to look at either a partner agency or a platform like Binary Fountain? When should they look for external help, and what are the kind of next steps there?
Yeah. So I would say if it's looking like this initiative internally is just falling by the wayside and you're not able to give enough attention to it, it's falling through the cracks, well then consider a solution, you know, either a agency partner that's helping you manage that and that's their responsibility, or a particular platform and software solution. You know, the larger you get and maybe the more volume you get, the more attention that's going to need to be given to it. So, you know, from everything, you know, start small, start, if you're not doing anything, just start somewhere, right? Do it, start manually. But then you're going to potentially realize as your initiatives are growing that you're going to need a place to, you want to know what's happening across like all 100 review sites out there and where you're being mentioned potentially, what you might be missing on just the 5 you're focusing in on. There's some other ones that you might be missing. So then that may make sense to have a system. And then, you know, as you get more sophisticated, there's reports, you know, closing the loop, you know, was this person, were they responded to, you know, one of our larger customers, they responded to over 60% of the 88,000 reviews that they received last year, which is powerful, but they were able to get those metrics from, you know, our system. So as you grow, it's probably going to be a need for you to get with agency partner, you know, maybe that's the next step, potentially, just depending on how big you are and how many reviews you're getting, and then maybe a full-fledged system. But start small and then grow it out. And then if it's just overwhelming, you know, you might just reach out. Hey, I need some help.
Yeah,
that sounds good. You're from, you know, from a Binary Fountain.
Yeah, exactly. We know someone good at Binary Fountain we can put folks in touch with. So
yeah, right. Yeah, hey.
We'll list your contact information, Aaron. And it's always great to talk to you today. And any other kind of parting words of wisdom for the audience? And we've covered a lot today on how to organize your reputation management efforts, what areas to focus on, how to prioritize, how to respond to negative comments. I think we've covered so much good tactical advice. Any other parting words of wisdom?
I would just say overall, and all of this is caring and empathizing with your customers. So by caring, which so many of you do, and you care well, this is a component that is a digital means of showing that you care to the world, of those people who are giving you feedback, good and bad. And so just continue to empathize with your customers and, you know, providing the awesome service that you you do already provide, but then realize that this other area of online presence management is so important, and it's letting, you know, others know about the good work that your employees and that your organization is doing. So keep up the good work.
Yeah. Great words of encouragement. And I love the thought of it's sort of like taking credit for that care and empathy that's already happening within the organization, and doing it in a way that from a prospect standpoint is unbiased. It's not coming from a marketing or salesperson trying to convince you of this message. It's people within the organization or customers within your organization filtering that message up and out. And I think that that's a great, great way to look at it. Well, Aaron, thanks so much for the time today. This has been an excellent conversation. I'm sure that our listeners and viewers are going to take a lot from this. So I can't thank you enough for being on here.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you having me. It's been fun. Thank you.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks, everybody. You've been listening to the Senior Care Growth Show, where senior care sales and marketers come to grow. My name is Winston. We'll talk to you soon. Thanks a lot.